You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
The final seconds will tick down as the Boston Celtics come up with a 40-point fourth quarter and a stunning double-digit comeback to rally and win Game 1 of the NBA Finals on the road. Celtics take it 120-108 over the Golden State Warriors.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. My co-host, Paul Gallant, is currently dabbing because he is a Celtics fan. Celtics win 120-108. They beat Golden State at home. Golden State heading into this game. The Warriors were 9-0 at home in the playoffs, and the Celtics just an absolutely dominant fourth quarter.
Yeah. I can't believe how good they were in the fourth. I left the bar, Chili's, of course, that I was
such
watching the game with my friends at. And I thought, okay, I'll get back with like 6 minutes left, so I'll be able to watch the end. And as I'm in the car, I just listen, and the Celtics just shoot, score, shoot, score, shoot, score. And that's one thing if it's Jaylen Brown, who I trust more than anyone else on that Celtics team, much more than Jason Tatum, in fact, who is 3-for-17 in the game. Ugh. But it was also this guy off the bench who at times has looked like he's going to pee himself, Devin White. Devin White goes 5-of-8 from outside. And it's also Al Horford, who, as Sean Mapes behind the glass said coming into the segment, he's 36 years old today. This is his first NBA Finals appearance.
Good for him.
And in a playoffs where against Milwaukee, I want to say it was Game 6, he had 30-something points. I mean, 26 points last night on 9 of 12 shooting. He has been unbelievable this year, and who would have thought that bringing him back to the Boston Celtics would be one of the biggest reasons that they're here playing in the finals with a one-game lead on Golden State.
Al Horford, 26 points, 6 rebounds. Jaylen Brown, 24 points. Derek White, 21 points, 3 assists. Not the best game for Jason Tatum. He did not shoot well, but he had a ton of assists and an interesting pregame outfit, as Sean Mapes and I were talking about. Sean, what was going on with Jason Tatum's outfit? How would you describe? I mean, it was like Neapolitan ice creamy. Half.
Whoa. Yeah, or like the old Batman, not the Dark Knight, but the other Two-Face.
The animated where it looked series like, or Tommy Lee Jones
yes,
version.
It looked like he was wearing two different, or no, actually, it was like 3 or 4 different suits stitched together.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a lot.
There's some animal print.
My problem is that if you dress like that, you have to play well. I know it's probably an outdated thought process,
no,
but I really think that if you really go that hard with your outfit, you need to make sure that you put up some numbers.
I'm glad the person in her 20s is the one that feels that way.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, Paul, that's why you bring it every day because of how you dress, right? You feel
yeah,
the pressure.
You have to.
If I dress like this, I have to bring it.
If you show as much chest hair as Paul Gallant is showing right now, you better bring
this
it.
This is incredibly, this is two buttons down.
Lots
this,
of lettuce.
This is, it's not my fault. There's a lot of chest hair up there, and I do not take care of the weeds upstairs. No, absolutely
oh.
not.
Mm.
No.
Whoa, me
yeah.
neither.
You can question a lot of things about Paul, but 10 to 12, he brings it.
Right, 10 to 12.
I mean, it's a hard day's work, guys. Come on.
So you're at Chili's. You're
yes.
eating and drinking with your friends.
Yes.
And then you leave the bar, and your mindset is that the Celtics have lost game one. Did this lead you to any...
I didn't think the game was over. I did not think the game was over, though my friends have been giving me endless crap about leaving early, deservedly, because I left and I was like, all right, I want to get home because if I stay here, I'm going to have another drink, and the next thing I know, it's going to turn into I'm going to be out at Chili's until 1 in the morning or something like that.
He would.
You know? So
he would.
These are things... I thought I was going to go home at halftime, and it was a good time catching up. One of my friends who's in town from Malaysia, actually.
Oh, nice.
I haven't seen him in a really long time. So anytime that he's here, you think, okay, I want to hang out as long as possible. But I just thought to myself, okay, it's a 15-point lead. If they have a comeback, guess what? I'll be able to watch the last 5 minutes on my couch. And I just did not think that if a comeback happened, it would be like boom, boom, boom,
right.
boom, boom. And it was so damn quick. And Golden State just didn't have an answer. And you just listen to it, and you're like, wait a second. Seriously? They're coming back like this? This Golden State team that's been to every single finals ever over the last couple of years versus this Celtics team that at times has looked, I would say, young, despite having a lot of playoff experience over the last couple of years. But, man, it was an impressive performance. If you're thinking that the series is over after game one, you're nuts. I'm definitely not. I mean, you know, Steph Curry was awesome that first quarter. He's going to have another quarter like that. And, I am, though, absolutely thrilled that they were able to steal one in San Francisco because they don't play in Oakland anymore.
3234 on the text line says, did Golden State run out of gas in the fourth after the long layoff? Yeah, I mean, you would think that after that long layoff that they would be well rested.
Yeah, that Boston would be tired.
And that Boston would be the one that was tired, but it was definitely the opposite of that. All right, game two, of course, is going to be, again, Golden State home on Sunday before they head to game three in Boston.
Boston.
One of the questions surrounding the Astros heading into this season, meanwhile, was definitely if Peña could step up and fill the shoes and be a better hitter than Carlos Correa. Former Astros manager Phil Garner was on yesterday with the Wheelhouse and certainly seems to think that the Astros made the right call when it came to Peña.
Everybody was concerned about Carlos Correa going, and I have to say he's a terrific defensive player, but I think the Astros made the right call on it. I couldn't see paying the kind of money that he was apparently looking for. So kudos for Peña for stepping up, having a lot of pressure on him, but he looks pretty good.
I'd say he looks more than pretty good. I'm legitimately blown away by how much power he has shown to this point. I did not expect that, and I'll be honest, I'm not someone who watches a lot of minor league baseball. I read scouting reports, and you read them about Peña, and you knew, okay, that he's got impressive defensive range, maybe not the best arm throwing over from shortstop. We saw it in game one. I mean, sometimes there's not a lot of zip that's going across the infield, but I was under the assumption that we were in for not the best hitter, and yet this guy's been hitting with force for contact and for power. And if this is what we are seeing through 2 months, a stretch where we have largely seen very little slumps, like maybe the first couple
of
games.
I mean, he had a slump,
right?
I think, right?
Like, but it was like the first couple of games. And I mean, you're a rookie that's playing in the majors for the first time. It's really unbelievable what he has done to this point. And I mean, are the Astros here with the, let's be honest, needing a blue pill offense that they have had to this point this year? Where would they be without Peña with some of these close games that they've been winning? I mean, he had a walk-off hit already.
Jeremy Peña has been the most pleasant surprise of this entire Astros team. I think a lot of people had faith that he would be good. I think people had faith that Jim Crane and James Click had made the right call. But what I remember kind of the narrative being among Astros fans was that it would take a while to see whether or not it was the right call. And look, time will still tell. He could be one of those guys that is having a good rookie year and then falls off. You never know. But it is nice that while there have been definitely some slumps with Altuve and Bregman, Yordan was out for a hot second. I mean, you've seen Peña step up in a way that I think it was unexpected that he would do so this quickly. But again, that was a former Astros manager, Phil Garner, on Jeremy Peña taking over for Carlos Correa. It is Hawaiian Shirt Friday, and we're getting some comments on our Hawaiian outfits.
Tropical or Hawaiian? I guess we haven't figured out what is the official name.
I think Cody Stutes said it's Hawaiian
Shirt. Is it Hawaiian Shirt by Cody?
Yes, Hawaiian. Okay. We're keeping it American. Thank you very much.
I guess I want it to be like, I want to keep it real American, you know? Like, I want to stay in the 48, you know?
Oh, God.
Respect the 48. Hawaii, Alaska.
The Miss America pageant would not like you.
Yeah, whatever.
Hawaiian Shirt Friday. I don't have a Hawaiian shirt here. I have one in my home in Indiana. So I'm wearing a flower in my hair. That's the best I can do. I will,
half-assed.
However, come locked and loaded next Friday for Hawaiian Shirt Friday.
Okay, I like it.
I promise I will. I'll get my Jimmy Buffett on. Sean Mapes has a green and white Hawaiian shirt on.
By the way,
what?
I'm going to a Jimmy Buffett concert tomorrow.
No, you're not.
I swear to God, I am going to a Jimmy Buffett concert tomorrow.
So your 48 hours will be and consist of you drinking at a Chili's, wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and then going to a Jimmy Buffett concert.
I am a dad.
Where are your children, and where is your van?
Wait, why do I have to have a van?
Because you're going to have a van, let's be honest.
Whoa, what?
Paul's going to have a van.
No, I'm going to get a pickup truck.
No, I see Paul as a, like, forever, like, let me put it this way. He's going to have a Corvette at some point in his
life.
So? He's going to have some Camaro, maybe, if things, you know, maybe don't
when
get Corvette money.
When the hairline recedes a little more, because it has started, and the midlife crisis is really hitting it. Yeah, that's because, listen, when, you know, you're trying to impress people, some people are impressed by cars. I don't know. No, honestly, I will never do that with a car. I'm going to drive the car that I have now, especially because I don't have any monthly payments on that. Ooh. I'm going to drive that thing into the bleeping ground.
There you go. Hawaiian Shirt Friday continues. Paul Gallant showing a little bit of chest hair, and I definitely need to get with it as far as my Hawaiian shirt goes. Guys, what are we doing? What are we doing for the rest of the weekend? You guys have any fun plans?
Well, there's that. I don't know what the hell's happening tonight.
Who are you going to the Jimmy Buffett concert with?
Classified. This is classified.
Oh, I didn't know if you're...
Like, it's not that kind of classified. It's classified.
Okay.
Classified.
And are you going to see Top Gun 2 to really pull off this
weekend?
80s were my heyday weekend you got?
Not a bad idea. Maybe I'll go see that after the show today.
I want to see it.
It's very good. As the only person on the show who's seen it, it's very good. It delivers everything you would want Top Gun to be. It's, you know, it's no Citizen Kane, all right? But they go fast.
I need to see the first one.
Citizen Kane's overrated. Let's be honest.
Citizen Kane is overrated.
It's like, oh, Rosebud.
It's so old, no one's seen it.
It's a sled. Spoiler alert. Oh, wow.
Innocence Lost. Ooh.
It is Hawaiian Shirt Friday. We are rolling along. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We want to know what your weekend plans are as well. So send us a call or a text, 713-780-ESPN. Of course, you can tweet us as well. All right, coming up, could we see Ryan Fitzpatrick in the broadcast booth post-retirement, leading us to our sports media nerd segment?
Vanessa's favorite
topic. I'm pumped. Let's go. That's next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along on a Friday, Hawaiian Shirt Friday. Hope everybody's having a good day. Thanks for hanging with us. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. And we appreciate you choosing ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Of course, you can hear us on the ESPN app as well and watch us if you'd like to see my poor attempt at Hawaiian Friday, which is just simply a white flower in my hair.
You should have played it up in the eyes of the list, or excuse me, the ears of the listeners.
Yeah, I'm wearing a coconut bra, and that's it.
Ratings. What's the dress that they wear? Are those the lays, or is the lays the necklace? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what's just a hula dress? A
hula skirt? Maybe.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know.
There's been a lot of movement in the sports media world. It's something that fascinates me. I'm kind of a nerd about it.
I think it fascinates a lot of people. I think because, look, you're spending your Sundays with some of these people, and we have seen a lot of change when it comes to NFL broadcast teams this offseason.
Mike Tirico will be with Chris Collinsworth for NBC. Mm-hmm. We know that it'll be Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit for Amazon. Troy Aikman and Joe Buck moved to ESPN, and then Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olson will be on Fox until, of course, that dynamic changes with Tom Brady. And I think it's still Jim Nantz and Tony Romo for CBS. I don't think that changed.
That's the one that did not change.
So one of the rumors, hot and heavy, is that Ryan Fitzpatrick, now that he has been confirmed to retire as of yesterday, could join Amazon on the broadcasting team.
Yeah, he should.
I think that this is rumor. We're going to go through some confirmed and some rumors. So rumor number one, Ryan Fitzpatrick could join Amazon. Guys, do we like it? Do we hate it? I love it.
Love it. So think about it from multiple perspectives. I've always been of the belief, and maybe I'm stereotyping athletes here, but that the not great athletes make for the best coaches and make for the best analysts because they realize that they have to work hard to maintain their job. It's a little different. Say you're a superstar. If you're Charles Barkley or you're Shaq or something like that, okay, if you have a great fun show like Inside the NBA, that's one thing. But there's a lot of guys who I think are ex-players who aren't putting the 100% effort in because they're like, I'm one of the best. Why should
I? And they don't think that they need to know any more than they already do.
Which, by the way, understandable. I can get how someone would have that mindset. I'm not going to dump on somebody for it. But I really like, as far as analysts, guys who have played for a while, but maybe are unheralded. So Fitzpatrick already checks that off. But more importantly, as far as Q factor goes, I cannot think of many more likable people in the NFL over the entirety of the last 15 years. This is a guy who comes in against the Texans, by the way, in 2005. His first game against in the NFL was after Mark Bulger was hurt with the St. Louis Rams, and I believe it was Jamie Martin who was the starting quarterback that day. He gets a concussion, so Fitzpatrick came in. against the Texans for St. Louis at the time in that game. And ever since then, I mean, just goofy personality, ups and downs, clearly understands the good and the bad parts of playing quarterback, the benching and all those things. I'm excited about this rumor.
Sean Mapes, Ryan Fitzpatrick could join Amazon. It's a rumor. Do you like it?
Yes, I do. I do wonder, so he's not going to be the third man with Herbie and
no,
Michael.
He'd be studio, I think.
He'll be studio?
I would imagine.
I think a studio role would be perfect for
him. Me too.
Him.
I think he'd get to show that personality.
Yeah, it gives him just more time to, you know, lay out.
And he can't retire completely because he has seven mouths that he needs to feed with all seven
he's
of his children.
He's got lots of kids, yes.
Rumor, Jason Garrett could replace Drew Brees on NBC's. Now, I'll
no
just
way.
Tell you straight up, I
no
don't
way.
Like this, okay? This is replacing vanilla with more vanilla. And I actually don't mean a color of their skin. I just mean as far as the level of, I'm sorry, what comes across is a little bit boring.
Oh, my God. This is real? This is a real
rumor?
This
is a possible rumor. Jason Garrett could replace Drew Brees on NBC.
Look.
I don't like it.
Imagine trying to find someone to replace Drew Brees who doesn't seem like he puts in the work but also is boring. And Jason Garrett is the person that you come up with at the group presentation. Hey, guys, I know. It hasn't really worked out with Drew Brees, but how about somebody...
What about Jason Garrett?
...that is, you know, less successful and more despised and not even respected by Cowboys fans. How about him we put in there? What are they thinking here? Who likes Jason Garrett? He has been everyone's punching bag as the symbol of the Dallas Cowboys' ineptitude over the last decade. At least Tony Romo had some good moments. Can you think of a good Jason Garrett moment?
What I'm hoping is that this is Jason Garrett's agents trying to get him some traction, because this is not good if so.
Yeah.
Sean.
I hope this is Andrew Marchand just doing someone a favor, floating him out there. I think it was Marchand. It could have been the other guy.
I'm John Oren.
Yeah, Oren is the other guy.
I know they call him the clapper on the BS Bill Simmons podcast when Cousin Sal and Simmons are doing it, and Rare Candy 86 on Twitch. Jason Garrett's gonna start clapping in the booth. Yes, yes, he's gonna be the kind of guy that claps when a plane lands. Like, listen, We do not want this to happen. Like, this is something that all of America can unite behind. No, why? Why is this the option that you
He's
think of?
He's done a couple of USFL games, and that's it.
Because he has experience?
So he doesn't... Well, but does he... Broadcasting-wise, does he even... He did a couple USFL games, so what? I can't take the vanilla of replacing vanilla.
I want it to happen just for the desk of Tony Dungy and Jason Garrett.
Brutal.
Just napped... Those sleep meditation apps should just hire those two.
It's a
and
great
just have
point.
Them talk.
Who?
And God bless Tony Dungy. I read his devotional every morning. But yeah, I mean, not the most exciting.
Not exactly dynamic.
Off the top of your head, who could you hire that's more boring
than Jason Garrett? Mike McCarthy, if he
Mike
retires.
Mike McCarthy's kind of funny, though.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy might even be better.
McCarthy in that press conference with the Cowboys was like, yeah, I faked watching film so I could get hired by Jerry, that idiot.
So
yeah.
Belichick might be more interesting to watch. But it might just be boring.
If he were broadcasting, which he would never do,
you know,
by the way.
He's a
Once
great
he
player.
Retires, we're never hearing from him again.
Oh, yeah. He's going off
he's
on his boat with
in
Linda.
He's going in a cabin with his dog and wife.
He's definitely a boat guy.
Confirmed.
Not married, by the way. Like just
He
has
got those, married.
Did they marry?
Yeah, they got married.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Not a good sign.
Confirmed, Sean Payton will do studio for Fox. I like this better than the idea of Sean doing color commentary. Not that I think he'd be bad at it, but I just think you can't throw somebody into the number one spot. He is a funny personality. He gets along with a lot of the other guys. So I think that this will be a good thing for Fox.
The ex-coach, I think that's a good spot for a lot of them. We've seen success with Jimmy Johnson. We've seen success with Bill Cowher. I like Jimmy Johnson a lot more personality-wise than I do. Payton, I really do not know much about his personality. I know that he gets mad. Does that work? You know, it worked with Mike Ditka as a studio analyst. Is it going to work with Sean Payton? I don't know. I'm not really sold on this one.
Sean Payton to Fox confirmed. What do you think?
I'm interested in – I also think that the Fox, that crew, like their studio crew is just the best. Like, because that's all I want. They are kind of the inside the NBA.
And Carissa Thompson's
football.
Really good about navigating all those personalities.
Yeah, you need a point guard to – because they're all – so chummy and friendly that all they do is just laugh at each other's jokes all the time. So you need someone to be like, all right, but we're talking about the Ravens.
Right.
Yuck.
All right, Kay Adams, possible pregame host. I think she was great on Good Morning Football. I think she's earned it. Paul is.
I am a Kay stan.
He is a stan. Sean.
I am also a big fan of Kay.
Oh, for a lot. Yeah, she's great. All right.
I miss her in my mornings.
I know. You know what? Me too. Probably for a different reason, but I thought she was the best on that show.
Oh, we just like Good Morning Football.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, talk about point guard. She's one of the best point guards.
She really is. She's fantastic. So, rumor, Pat McAfee could host a Manning Cast-type alternative broadcast for Amazon.
Please be uncensored, but yes, 100%.
Yeah, okay.
I would watch that. I'd be much more likely to watch that than I would be the Manning Cast. No offense to the Manning Cast.
Right.
The Manning Cast, you watch it, you learn some things, but the energy is going to be slipping after a while. That's like a couple of minutes. I would rather have the highlights of the Manning Cast afterwards. With
That's
McAfee, I feel like... Because he's doing that show that he does every day, this could go all over the place, which I love.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Manning Cast is like a podcast with like different guests and a football game in the background. I think McAfee will really – I think he'll kill it. And you could honestly talk me into almost anyone as an alternate broadcast because I'm like, yeah, sure, I'd check it out. I don't know why not.
Here's where it would be a little bit different, too. I think the Manning Cast you only watch if you don't care about the game.
Yeah.
I think there are people that even if they cared about the game may watch McAfee because McAfee's really good with real-time stuff. And Peyton is, too. But McAfee just has such a huge following.
Yeah, he has such a strong following.
Right.
I think McAfee, you're right. That's a great point, Vanessa. The broadcasting side of things, when you watch some of these games, and specifically the Manning Cast, it does not feel like you are watching a football game. Like, the emotions are not quite there with them. McAfee would be – you've seen that gif of Joe Rogan watching a fight with two other UFC commentators where they're both, like, leaning back in their chair after someone probably had his jaw broken. McAfee would be able to bring that to it in the midst of a broadcast that maybe doesn't have that commentary.
I mean, it maybe
makes the moment bigger.
It may do ratings better than the actual. I mean, no offense to Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels, but there may be a few games where McAfee's alternative broadcasts almost match the ratings.
And honestly, if we're going back to the first one with Fitz joining Amazon, honestly, a alternate broadcast of McAfee and Fitzpatrick.
Done.
That, like, sign me up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, every week.
Yeah.
I don't need to actually watch the broadcast. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to talk a little bit more about sports media topics. Kevin Durant versus Stephen A. Who would you take in a fight? That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're rolling along on a Friday, and if we know one thing about Twitter and Kevin Durant, it's that he always keeps it real, he always keeps it entertaining, and not buttoned up like a lot of other NBA players. Last night was no exception, as First Take tweeted out videos, clips of their show, as they always do, a very passionate Stephen A. saying Steph Curry changed basketball for the better, while MJ kind of changed it for the worse. Kevin Durant quote tweets this video and says, "My theory is that guys like Steve, Skip, and Shannon have changed the game for the worse. Players like Stephen and Michael can only push the game forward," which led to a war of words kind of between the two, which I'm not sure if it was for entertainment or if it was actually real. But Stephen A. Responded and said, "Got news for you. We ain't going any damn place. For every Stephen A., Skip, Shannon, and others, there's thousands more coming down the pike. We're not going away. We multiply. Sorry!" with all the exclamation points in the world.
And then Durant responded with a video of Stephen A. Smith saying, "We don't care," in response, which is a pretty funny way to wrap up the back and forth. I get the argument by Stephen A. here. Michael Jordan led to a lot of players, Kobe Bryant successfully, but a lot of players unsuccessfully believing that they single-handedly could be an entire basketball team. Steph Curry has led to a bunch of players bombing it from half court, thinking that they'll be good three-point shooters. At every level of basketball, there is no denying that those two have affected the game in that way. But, I mean, Kevin Durant is right in that the talking heads in the morning that are, you know, having these rather disingenuous conversations and debates, if you will, I would say that it's made this industry worse.
Totally. And when you take inventory from the fact that the finals are on right now, and there are probably other topics they could be talking about. If you're Kevin Durant, you're watching that and you're thinking, why the hell are they talking about that during the finals? Off season might be one thing, but it is a weird topic during the finals.
Yeah. And look, Durant also is someone who is of the belief that if you never played the game, that you don't know a bleeping thing. I'll admit that when it comes to basketball, that's not my 100%, but I would put my football IQ.
I mean,
as a high school legend,
all
just kidding.
Safety, county state champion,
not a state
Olympic
champion.
Hurdler, right?
No, not Olympic
what was
hurdler.
It?
No. This is all district.
Sean Help.
First team in a small
Decathlon,
district.
Decathlon, American here. You're on the Wheaties box.
Okay, listen.
Somewhere in Tampa.
He started
right?
Title
Hang
nine.
On. This was a serious point at first. All I'm saying is there are some people that analyze the NFL that are ex-players, and I'm like, yeah, I know that guy does not know
right.
what he's talking about compared to me. But does it matter when that guy has the pelts on the wall? I don't know. It's really in the eye of the beholder. But Durant's making an argument that some guys don't follow it. Stephen A. Smith, there are certainly some sports that he does not follow. I do feel like he pays attention to basketball at the very least.
Yeah, I also just think the narrative that people, if you didn't play, you don't know what you're talking about is annoying as we continue our sports media nerd
right.
discussion.
Because if you talk about the guys who are voting for awards and
right.
stuff, if you were to give in control of voting for all NBA awards to players, it would be just an absolute train wreck every single year. It would not be accurate. There are some people who are not players, who make votes that aren't good at their jobs in all sports, whether it's MVP. Baseball has this issue a lot. But I would say there are also a lot of players. Like, take a look at the NFL Top 100, which is voted on entirely by players, and tell me that that list
right.
isn't terrible every single year.
I always say this, too. You can lean into something without saying that everybody else is bad. And what I mean by that is, there are certain advantages to being a former player, to being a Howie Long, or to being a former coach, Jimmy Johnson. You're going to just have advantages that people that didn't play won't have. You may be a little bit more professional if you're not a former player, but you are a seasoned broadcaster like Mike Tirico or, you know, Ian Eagle or whatever, where, you know, you have that experience. There are advantages to being a woman. You can lean into being a woman and maybe getting more empathetic interviews with coaches without full-on using it. It doesn't mean that you don't know what you're talking about just because you lean into certain parts of who you are. So I hate that argument.
Same.
Always thought that it was really annoying. We hate the thought of the NFL without Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, but at some point, that's going to be the reality. And as the two played together as partners in the match versus Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, they were both asked about retirement.
Right.
Tom Brady, your Lord and Savior, says, you know, at this stage, it's like 55% yes and 45% no. Brady said, that's just the reality. It's not that I'm not 100% committed. It's just as soon as I make the commitment I do, it's like, ugh, all right, here we go. It's like running a marathon. You can't decide 2 weeks before the marathon, hey, I'm going to start running. We got right to free agency and I felt some pressure to do it. Talked to the team and it all worked out. That was Tom Brady's answer. Aaron Rodgers said, when you commit, you're 100%, but the older you get, the interests change and the grind wears on you a little more. The football's the easy part. That's the joy. The other stuff wears on you.
If you're wondering who retires first, based off those quotes, it's hard to come to a conclusion. I am surprised that Rodgers is still going, but with the extension that he just got and at the level he's still playing at, why would you stop anytime soon? I feel like both should try to play at least for the next 2 years. Like, why would you expect, based off of what you just saw from Brady, another career year at age, 44?
And
what,
I think, go ahead.
Rodgers, too.
I think with Rodgers, are you happy if you retire with one Super Bowl?
No.
I mean, that I think that, honestly, had he won a second Super Bowl, he would retire, and like Bill Belichick, we'd never hear from him again.
Are you more frustrated if you keep playing and you keep having the same result that the Packers
He's
have had
not
in the playoffs
to a Super Bowl without Devontae Adams?
I don't feel very confident in that either. Who knows? Again, it's a crapshoot every year, but I do think like the Packers, based off the last 3 years, are we expecting them to have yet again another great record? And what if they have yet another great record and they don't ultimately win a Super Bowl? I think for a guy like Rodgers, do you really want to go through all the grind when that's the elusive thing, is that second Super Bowl on your resume, and you go through a whole grind of a season only to end up losing in the first or second round of the playoffs? I can understand how that would get tiresome for some guys. Yes, you want to go out on top, but I mean, what if you're just, Oedipus, who's shoving the rock up the hill, like, nonstop over and over again, only for it to come back down
Professor
on
Mapes?
You?
That is Sisyphus.
Sisyphus,
Oedipus, who I think you're talking about, had
he likes
sex
his mom.
With his mom.
That's Ooh. Right, yeah. Hot for teacher.
Well, Aaron Rodgers and Sisyphus. I'm trying to talk about that comparison.
Syphilis? Okay.
That's a different.
Okay, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's known
I wonder what syphilis's deal was.
I don't know. Something about syphilis and a rock.
He was always scratching himself.
I think
syphilis.
Tom Brady probably retires first. I think Tom Brady may retire after this year. Aaron Rodgers may go too. But with Devontae Adams heading to the Raiders, I just don't see Aaron Rodgers, even though I think he's one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best in the NFL right now. I don't think that he gets it done. I think he wins another MVP. They have another trip to maybe the NFC championship, but it's not going to happen. Today in crazy injuries from baseball players, Francisco Lindor accidentally slammed his hotel room door shut on his finger.
Yeah.
And will be out of the Mets lineup today.
And he actually talked about it in a one-on-one interview. He's very
Ouch.
Candid and kind of was smiling as he described the injury. Here is the Mets' very expensive shortstop.
After I finished my massage, I went into my room and I have double doors. And I went to close one. I didn't think the other one was going to close. I think it closed at the same time. And next thing you know, I got a swollen finger.
Is it as painful as it sounds?
I tell you what, I ran around the room for like 3 minutes. I didn't want to look at it. And then when I finally looked at it, I was like, okay. I felt like I had my heart in that one finger.
Do we believe this?
Always a great question.
Do you remember the Mets storyline from last year where Francisco Lindor, the man we just heard from, and Jeff McNeil got in a fight about whether in the dugout, they got in a fight and their story after the game was, we thought we saw a raccoon in the tunnel leading to the clubhouse. Jeff thought it was a rat or something, and that's what caused the fight.
So
and actually, you won't believe this. That wasn't what the fight was actually
Yeah,
about.
Crazy,
Whoa.
Right? Kind of like...
He lied to us about a fight that took place in the dugout.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe this.
Especially when you consider that he is a player on a 10-year, $341 million contract. If you're Steve Cohen, are you going to do a full investigation of what might have happened here? You are a billionaire, after all. Is there a way that you could potentially figure out what was going on in said hotel room? It's funny. There's so many, for whatever reason, baseball seems to have the most injuries that take place that aren't even on the field. Like, wasn't there a guy who walked through his shower door and shattered glass
Allegedly,
on himself?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a long list. You can't even keep track of all of them of dumb baseball injuries.
Never forget when the Colts wouldn't talk about Andrew Luck's injury, and it ended up being a snowboarding accident. So there's a lot of this that goes on, a lot of fibbing, but just how calm Lindor was when he talked about it. I'm not going to go full tinfoil hat here, but sorry, don't buy it.
Who hasn't done that, though, before? Like I've closed a car door on my finger once. That was awful. I can't believe it. Like, I've been really lucky in terms of the amount of times I could have broken my hand or fingers, and I did not. I have broken my right ring finger, and I've broken both of my wrists. But there have been other times where I should have broken something, and I did not, including closing a car door on myself.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to wrap it up. A legend is out as play-by-play voice of an NFL organization. Plus, tell us where the donuts are. Where are the best donuts at in Houston on National Donut Day? That's next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report, presented by Texas Citizens Bank.
After yesterday's intraday rebound rally that pushed the Dow up by 400 points and the NASDAQ by more than 300, stocks are giving back some ground this morning. Dow futures down about 150 points, the S&P down 28, and the NASDAQ down more than 100 in the early going ahead of the key jobs report that is due out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Expectations are for just over 300,000 jobs created, slowing the recent pace of job growth. But the numbers today could very well dictate how aggressive the Fed stays with respect to interest rate policy. Meanwhile, 10-year note yields holding at 2.92%. Dollar slightly firmer this morning. Oil's down 86 cents as OPEC moves to increase production, holding though still at a relatively high level, just under $116 a barrel. Gold down $1.70 to $18.69 the ounce. All eyes on the employment report. Anything stronger than expected could prompt some fears that the Federal Reserve will continue tightening policy in an aggressive manner. Weaker could have the opposite effect.
ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report was presented by Texas Citizens Bank, the official bank of ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This just in, legend Britt Musburger not returning as the play-by-play voice of the Las Vegas Raiders, obviously known for some of his fun comments on the radio towards Catherine. It's McCarron now. What was it back then?
Catherine Webb.
Catherine Webb.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's the reason every red-blooded American male in Alabama wants to play quarterback.
Yes, good times. He just tweeted, many thanks to the Raiders organization for fond memories. I'll miss my broadcast partner, Lincoln Kennedy, and the radio production crew. What's next? I hear Mike Trout might step down as commissioner of his fantasy league. You never know. He's been with the Raiders as their play-by-play voice since 2018. No word on if this was voluntary or if he was fired. I feel like if it were voluntary, he probably would have said so, but you never know.
I miss hearing him on college.
He was fun.
Football broadcasts. It was pretty cool that he joined the NFL ranks for a while. Iconic voice. You are looking live. The iconic line. Nonstop gambling references. That's a bummer. We're losing more and more of the old guard.
You know what I... Sorry, go ahead.
Al Michaels is really the only one left.
You know what I just thought about is, could it be tied into not saying he did anything wrong with the Raiders investigation, but with them trying to clean up their PR and their image a little bit? Do you think that could be part of it?
I guess.
Get out in front of a possible thing.
You're the Raiders and you're in Las Vegas. Like, what? You have no chance. It's over.
I know, but we've talked about some of the things in the wake of the Gruden investigation. All right, it is time for Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
By the way, just to piggyback off of Francisco Lindor, the amount of weird injuries that have taken place in baseball, there is actually a list up on MLB.com.
These are all alleged, by the way.
I'm going to read a couple. Jonathan Villar of the Chicago Cubs was placed on the injured list May 30th, so this is a couple days ago, after an exercise band he was using snapped back into his mouth, causing damage that required significant dental work.
Ow.
Sounds like a bar fight to me.
Yeah. Severe, these are alleged.
Okay.
Severe dental work for a rubber band?
Let's keep this going. I will read the story. You guys guess what actually happened.
Right.
Devin Williams punched a wall in the hours following the Braves' NL Central clinching victory after having too much to drink.
That's true, because, I mean, it's not a good thing to lie about.
So they won, and he punched a wall. This isn't a LeBron James punching a wall after the J.R. Smith game. He's happy?
He was happy at one point that night, but he was sad at this point in the night.
You know what? He's drunk.
I can see him being pumped up.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or a bar fight.
Zach Plesac, according to Terry Francona, injured his thumb last year while taking off his undershirt and getting it caught on a chair.
Yeah.
That's just stupid enough.
Really?
Yeah, taking his undershirt off and getting it caught.
And that's how he got injured? Yeah.
Bar fight.
Zach Wheeler, while putting his pants on, discovered that there was a nail, I guess, in his pants. And he caught the nail on his middle finger of his pitching hand while putting his pants on. He was forced to bump his start back a couple of days.
Wait, was something with his thumb?
Where was this nail?
It's very confusing.
This is fake just because of how it, like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, it's too complicated.
All right, one last one. Hunter Strickland in 2019 had a barbell drop on him and break his nose while he was doing hip exercises in a squat rack.
So it's a mad girlfriend.
Yeah. That's how we first heard about Tiger Woods.
Right.
Like one car accident.
Yeah.
One last one, because it comes close to home. Carlos Correa read the following statement in 2019. I sustained the rib fracture during a massage at my home on Tuesday. To sustain an injury in such an unusual way makes it even more frustrating.
Uh-huh.
Yep, 100% true.
Absolutely.
Daniela.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so we asked y'all where the best donuts are in Houston because it's National Donut Day. Shout out to Square Donuts in Terre Haute, Indiana. That's my hometown gift shop, donut shop. So, so, so good. We're getting a lot of Shipley's.
Oh,
we've gotten
God.
A lot of Voodoo. I like not doing the chains, guys. I want, like, the local
You want
donut.
The authentic donuts?
Yeah, if I wanted Tex-Mex or whatever, I would
say
Voodoo or Shipley's.
You want an authentic Tex-Mex donut?
I want...
With guacamole in it or something? Stuffed with
queso?
Salsa?
Yeah. You want to dip these donuts in queso?
Doesn't sound
terrible,
right?
Jinx.
Do you owe me a soda? or a donut.
Best donuts in Houston.
I mean, I can't. I'll ride with Shipley's.
Really?
I feel for you. I feel so bad for you.
Okay, because you say what?
Mighty O Donuts in Seattle. It's the best in the world. Does not come close anywhere else. If you haven't had them, you don't know. And yep, someone who said Voodoo Donuts, guess where that's from? That's also from the Pacific Northwest.
Is it really from?
It's from Portland.
But the Pacific Northwest is not Seattle.
I said Portland this time.
No, he did better this time.
I did.
I think last time he said, like, the Seattle area, and we had to call him out that it was Portland, which is not the Seattle area.
But it's in the Seattle area.
Somebody on the Twitch line says Queen Donuts Alvarez likes to frequent that donut shop. Ooh, okay, so Queen Donuts.
Okay.
Everybody is saying Shipley's. We know. We don't want chains.
No, not Shipley's. It's not, like, I don't understand
the Shipley's appeal.
Best local
Houston. Give me the mom and pop, the 80-year-old guy that wakes up at 5 in the morning to cook the donuts in his neighborhood. I want that. Tell me the best local donut shop.
So you want someone, like, it could be a total fraud. Like, you're looking for someone that is just... appears to be the iconic mom and pop shop, even though the donuts might be terrible.
You don't believe in that? Let's see.
As someone who used to feel bad for random companies based off of the logo on the bags of food that they had, feeling guilty to the point that I felt like I needed to buy them as charity because the boxes looked like crap.
What are you talking about?
I understand. I used to see like boxes of cereal in the grocery aisle, and I was like, oh, this box looks like it's not like a company that's doing too well. I should buy this cereal. I would do this like regularly. And my mom was like, no, it's probably not good. And
yeah, were you buying
relax.
The bags of cereal?
No.
Oh, okay, because that's where really, that's
that's the store brand.
Literally the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't kidding.
All right, Garbage Time continues. Boys Season 4 is out today.
Hell yes!
And that's why Paul came in wearing a trench coat over his Hawaiian shirt. I don't get it.
Check that. It's Boys Season 3. I wrote that down wrong in the notes. And yeah, look, Billy Butcher. Listen, love. You want to mess up with some suits today?
I've never heard of the show.
It's a great show. It's again.
What's it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon Prime. It's like, imagine if the Avengers were all terrible humans. It's rated R. It's very graphic. It's great. Really is fun.
Do you see yourself in some of these characters?
No.
You give off big Homelander vibes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Meanwhile, a 25-year-old Dallas, Texas Instagram model was kicked off of a plane. She's a Toronto native due to her 22-pound breasts.
And she's very upset about it. Now, I gotta say.
Oh, this woman is sad. She looks like a cartoon character.
Yeah, I actually get why she was kicked off. I'm sure that it was more than just that. I'm sure it was more like, hey, this is probably unsafe. We can't get the seatbelt around you. They are...
The world needs to evolve. She said, no, you just need to not have 22-pound breasts.
She's got tattoos everywhere, too. Look, I'm not labeling people for having tattoos, but she is very much a, one, addicted to plastic surgery person, two, wants to get... attention for some reason I can't explain, but these things I do not believe them to be natural.
0061 says snowflake donuts. We've gotten donuts in League City. Riley's
sounds
donuts.
Too liberal for me.
Riley's donuts in Friendswood. Give us
oh
your
my
local
god
donut recommendation.
Someone just said there's a E on the Twitch said there's a donut with bacon, boudin, egg rolls, cookies, and cream donuts. That sounds pretty awesome.
Doesn't sound terrible. Two old men fought over golf, the Villages, which is a nursing home, I think, over golf etiquette.
You got a golf course, though. Good for them.
Led to Richard Randell, 77, entered a not guilty plea for his crime against his 84-year-old friend. Around the fourth hole, the two began arguing.
It was over standing too close to the green.
Yeah, standing too close to the green. Randall said he knew the etiquette of the game. This is the most old man thing ever.
A friend flipped him off. The other friend said, do that again and I will hit you. And then he punched him in the face and the friend fell to the ground.
Do you get to the age where you just don't care anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, if you want to
fight. Honestly, if I were in a nursing home too, Vanessa, I would want to get arrested for fighting a friend.
Yeah.
Be an experience.
You'd be Bob Barker fighting Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, yeah.
Jail might be better than some of the nursing homes in this country.
You are not kidding.
All right, God. This has been another episode of Vanessa and Gallant. Thank you for hanging out with us on Hawaiian Shirt Friday. You have Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank. The Killer Bees are up next from 12 to 3.
Peace.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Ew.
ESPN 97.5.